Good morning and welcome to the Wake Up with Taryn Sarcone podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Sarcone, and I am so happy that you are here with me today. I have a message on my heart for you. If you are a woman who is unfulfilled, you're burnt out, you're stressed out, you're irritated, you're triggered, you're anxious, you're depressed, you're hopeless, you're wondering, what is my life about? What is my purpose? What is my calling? Why am I here? I want you to know you're not alone and you're also not crazy. So welcome to the show. You're going to love it. I just cannot even tell you how excited I am to be here because I don't know if you know this or not, but God put it on my heart about a year ago that I should interview people. And I'm like, I don't know, God, you know, he's like, do it. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, and so then I finally was like, okay, Lord, if you want me to interview someone, then just bring them to me, place them in my lap, make the perfect connections. And since then he has brought me, I believe you're the fourth person. And so when people show up in my DMs and they're like, hey, you know, I'm like, yes, let's do it. Like, I feel like totally this is Holy Spirit driven and it is the perfect connection, exactly what our people need to hear and connect with. So everyone listening, Rachel and I have never spoken before besides a little bit through DMs, but you guys know that that's how I like to do it because I like it to be a very authentic, real conversation. Obviously, what we're showing up here for is to connect to God, hear his plans, hear his calling on our life, and then to boldly pursue that and move forward. The hardest part is actually being bold and pursuing it and moving forward. Like, you're like, I know I'm called. I know what I'm called to do, but I just can't do it. I can't move forward. I just get stuck. And that's what every single person basically who I talk to says. And so I love hearing people that heard their calling. They had something happen to them and they pursued it and they were bold and they moved forward and they were obedient. And that's what it seems like happened with your life, Rachel. So I'm excited to dig in. Before I start digging in and ask you questions, I want to introduce Rachel. She's got a lot that she's accomplished. So we're talking to someone amazing here. So Rachel is a licensed clinical mental health counselor, supervisor of 20 years and an award-winning author. In 2020, my girl Lisa Turkhurst and the amazing team at HarperCollins Publishing chose her book out of 10,000 submissions. That is crazy. And a little bit about her story. In 2012, Rachel fought the good fight to overcome postpartum depression in her own life when she became a new mom, and she did get better. And so she spent the last decade writing this book, and you know, she wishes that this resource was there for her. And I love that this was birthed out of the pain and wanting to give back, because God always takes our pain and turns it to purpose. So I love that. She is a frequent speaker, radio and podcast guest. Rachel has been featured on the Proverbs 31 podcast for 4 episodes that has over 3 million downloads. Crazy. She also has been a guest on Behind the Bliss with Rachel Autry that has over 1 million downloads as well. And she owns a thriving private practice in Charlotte, North Carolina. And in her long career, she has helped thousands of women navigate struggles to be the girl God has called them to be. And there's nothing Rachel loves more than encouraging women to be emotionally healthy and to walk by faith, even when she cannot see. And we are meant to be, you and I are meant to be connected. And I just love it. Like, your bio, just like, I was like, I can't wait to talk to her. I'm so excited. Okay. So tell me about, I want to know first about the pain in your postpartum journey and what that was like.
Yeah. So also, thank you for having me. I'm so excited. And this is our first conversation. I love the authenticity there. So I'm pretty stoked to be here. So I'll dive right into the pain. I'm a therapist, so I'm pretty comfortable going right to the pain point. And so when I became a mom, the first time, I had my son at the very end of 2011. And so was becoming a new mama in 2012. And I was already a licensed therapist at that time. And I knew motherhood was going to be hard. I knew I was going to be exhausted and tired. I knew there would be baby blues. I knew there would be tears. I never knew what was about to come. And so about 3 weeks after I gave birth to my beautiful oldest son, I always say with postpartum and baby blues, we are sisters, not twins. Everyone's experience is so different. And so I talk to moms all the time. They're like, well, I felt this. And it's like, absolutely, like that is so normal. But my experience was I went from, you know, just being in love with my son, which I never didn't love my son, to just crying all the time, moments where I was afraid to pick him up while he was crying. He had a dairy allergy that we didn't know about in the beginning. And so breastfeeding was very, very, very hard for us. For me, it wasn't a fit. And with that being said, it was just, I was so, so sad. I just cried all the time. I couldn't see outside of, and it was a big change for me. I couldn't see outside of what was going on. I couldn't look forward to Christmas or s'mores or Oreos or the beach. Nothing really quite made me smile. And I'm very thankful that I was already a therapist and I knew this isn't me. This isn't me. And I knew exactly what it was. And I have a very vivid memory of rolling over, touching my husband's husband in, or my husband's shoulder in the bed and said to him, we need to call my doctor. Like, this is not right. This is not normal. And so with that, you know, knowing it was the deepest pain I've ever been in. And for people that read my book, I talk a little bit about, I had a severely traumatic childhood. And I never say that to make it about me, but I always want women to know whether they're dealing with postpartum anxiety or baby blues or depression, that the pain I went through as a new mom, and even now and then as a mother, that stuff I went through as a child has nothing on how hard it has been for me to be a mama. And so, you know, I went and went to a couple of counselors, all of which, God bless them, said that we don't know how to help you, which I decided was not okay. And that wasn't enough for me, Taryn. So
yeah, what an uncomfortable feeling. Like, I can't help you and you're crazy and you're too hard, you know, like how lonely.
Right. Yeah. And I always say luckily, but I got to be careful. It wasn't luck. It was Jesus. And so I was so thankful that I went out and found all the help that I needed and then took the help that worked for me. And I've used it with thousands of women, maybe more by now. And my book is my treatment plan that I've used for the last 10 years. And so how cool it is to put 10 years of therapy into a $16 book or however much it is on Amazon right now.
Like unbeatable.
Right. And so, it was a very vulnerable moment. I remember standing up at my church at a church leadership meeting. And I was like, I need help. Like, I need people to check in on me. I'm not okay. I didn't want to harm myself or my baby or anything like that. But I couldn't be alone until I started feeling better and all those dynamics. And Taryn, I remember thinking, I'm never getting another referral. My career is done. You know, who stands up as a therapist, owns her own practice? I thought no one will ever, no doctors, no OBGYN is ever going to send me another referral. I'm never going to make a dime. My life is over. And quite the opposite happened. And so there's a verse in Psalms 32:3 that says, when I kept silent about my pain, my body wasted away. And one of the translations says, my bones wasted away. And that really spoke to me during this season. The more that I continue to, or the more, especially in the past, I spoke out and continue to speak out, the more that the power of that shame of dealing with mental illness as a mom, just, it washed it away. I'm not embarrassed. I'm proud, but in the okay way of the fact that I can give God the glory of what I've been through. Mm-hmm. So I know I kind of went deep into like the pain point, but yeah, girl, it was real. It was real.
Now, did you know Jesus at that time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I grew up in, I was raised by a single mother, but raised by a very strong Christian single mother. And so I came to know Jesus at a young age. I was actually very young. So I was a kindergartner when I accepted Christ. And so I did know Jesus at that time and very thankful for that. Mm-hmm. But the attacks for me from, and I'm not quick to go to the enemy, but the attacks from the enemy, they were real. You know, when you pair that with some mental illness, it was an ugly storm. It really was.
Yeah. Did you struggle with mental illness before you had your son?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always say this kind of in a little bit of an embarrassment, but I feel like I need to share it because I need to be real. There's not a fake bone in my body. There's not. But I would, you know, encourage and have people prescribe medication before I had my baby, before I had postpartum. But there was always like a little piece of me that was like, does this stuff really work? Like, does it really, you know? And I hate that because all of my training, all the science, all the background, all the degrees on the wall behind me taught me how these meds work, why they work. And I know they're not for everyone, but they definitely were for me after I had both of my babies for a year. And it was definitely a big humbling process to struggle with mental illness when I never had before. And man, it's made me a good counselor. I mean, I'd love to say I'm fantastic. It's made me good. And so with that, God has definitely used my pain for his glory in such a powerful way.
Mm-hmm.
As right. He often does, right?
Yeah, right. And then looking back, if you had the opportunity to go through it again, or you could just bypass the whole thing and not, what would you choose?
Well, it's funny you say that because so like 90%, 80 to 90% depends on which study you read. If you have postpartum with the first baby, you're going to have it with the second. Mm. So when we knew we wanted two kids, so when we got pregnant with my second, we 100% had a plan. We had the exact same plan that's my chapter 3 of my book. It's the whole postpartum plan. It's for all new moms, not just moms that are dealing with postpartum. But I went into it proactively rather than reactively. Mm. And so I don't know that reactively is a word actually, but that's okay. Instead of being reactive, I was proactive and just decided I'm probably going to have it. So day 3 after I gave birth, I went on medication. Day 6 after I gave birth, I went to see my counselor. I had my postpartum plan in place. I had my postpartum pack. I had my 3 to 5 people that were checking in on me. I had my 5 warning signs written down on my fridge to know that problems are about to arise. And girl, when I say I prevented or God prevented postpartum depression, it did.
Yeah,
it did. Because I went into it and said, all right, let's get ahead of this.
Yeah.
And I think that's other than having my children, I think those are the best moments of my life where a mother comes to me after she suffered with postpartum. She decides she wants to have another child and we prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do anything. God does the work. And the mothers in front of me sitting on this couch behind me do all the work. But to prevent that pain. So it's odd. I actually have been able to do that. I have been able to go back and tell myself because I had another baby to be able to go in and say, let's prevent it. And you know what? I did. And there's this vivid memory, you know, most new mothers do deal with some intrusive thoughts at some point or another, which intrusive thoughts are just ugly thoughts that are unwanted. And I remember sitting at the pool with my friends, with my newborn, my second son. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And I was already on medicine and we were doing all the things to make sure I was healing well. And I was sitting with friends and I remember having an intrusive thought of harm coming to my son. I never wanted to harm my son, but it was an unwanted thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my friend and my husband. And I was like, I just had an intrusive thought. And I was able to name it. I was also on some medicine and in therapy and under a lot of prayer with a lot of friends and family, but getting ahead of it and being able to name it and knowing that I wasn't like a terrible person. I wasn't a bad mom because I was struggling.
Right.
It's like that thought was able to just keep on walking by like a stranger rather than inviting them in to hurt me.
Yeah.
So I know that we can't always prevent postpartum. I know that, but I do think we can get ahead of it. And I've watched it in my practice and it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole proactive and reactive living is a chapter in my book in general about that, you know, just in general life, that if you're going through your life reacting to everything around you, you're going to feel pretty awful. You're going to feel pretty terrible. You're going to feel like you can't catch up. You can't get ahead. And it's not super hard to live proactive. You just have to be aware of it. Mm-hmm. And I love that you said that you were aware and you had the warning signs. Now, I really want to talk about these because most women, when they're in the valley, they're in the darkness, they're in depression, they're in postpartum, they don't really know they're there until all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I'm depressed. You know, you could live years and years of your life without being aware of what's happening. So what kind of warning signs did you have written down, and why did you write them down?
Well, I wrote them down because I realized I had to, and it was the plan I came up with kind of accidentally in order for myself to get better. And it's kind of similar to a safety plan for anyone that's dealing with some depression or anxiety, of when I don't have anything to look forward to, when I'm crying every single day. I'm a crier, but not every single day. When I'm afraid to pick up my son, when I started to feel like my life was this dark tunnel, that there was just there was no light, there was no brightness, there was no hope. When all I was hearing in my mind was just, and obviously I wasn't hearing voices, but like the thoughts coming into my mind were just, you know, you're worthless, you're a horrible mother. And it's just, I couldn't climb out of those moments. For me, it's definitely when I isolate and when I have nothing to look forward to. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of my patients and clients in the past, it depends on the setting, whether you call them patients or clients. It's interesting. In the hospital, they were patients. But in the past, it was like, I have clients, they stop eating. I'm the opposite. I definitely eat more when I'm sad, but they don't have an appetite. It kind of depends. I've got a list in one of the chapters of my books of like, here's warning signs of what to look for. Because again, we are sisters, not twins. And my experience is different than everyone else. And I remember that being really bizarre because I did lose my appetite, and that's never been an issue before. And I didn't want to answer my door. I didn't want to respond to text messages. I didn't want to see friends. That's not me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to put, you know, makeup on or take a shower or do anything to take care of myself. And that's, you know, obviously I'm super girly. That's not me. Mm-hmm. And so I think we look at our baseline and we say, who are you? And then whether it's with a baby or not, I mean, this is depression, anxiety, any mental illness. And we say, what's your baseline of like, when you're, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 at a solid 6 or 7 with it comes to joy, like 10 being awesome. If your normal is not normal, it's time to look and see what might be going on. It's very simple, but it's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what is your first step? And I know that your book does a great job outlining and giving the plan and everything that people need to do step by step, but if someone was listening to this right now and they're realizing, I think this is me, I think I need some sort of help, what is the very first thing that you recommend that they do?
To reach out to the person in their life they're closest to and let them know. So the first thing you do is you speak. And so you go ahead and let me stop. Obviously, I have to say, you know, every podcast I'm on, I have to say this, if you're having thoughts of self-harm or harming someone else, your next stop is not this podcast. It is to reach out to your local emergency department. So yes. I always have to say that. Yes. I don't say 911 anymore because I know we've got people in Canada and all over the world that can be listening. So with that, you know, the next stop, come back and listen to us. But the next stop is to reach out to your healthcare provider. But with that is to go ahead and speak to the person you're closest to, whether if that's a spouse, your mom. I remember calling my mom immediately and my husband because I'm close to both of them and I could trust them. And then being like, okay, let's do something. I knew the next step of like, I need to go and tell my doctor that I'm not okay.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of times the next best step. I will say I've heard, and I'm never downing OBGYNs. They're amazing. They're my heroes. But a lot of times OBGYNs, basically, unless you're having kind of severe symptoms, they can be somewhat dismissive because they're like, oh, well, you're okay. You're just, this is normal baby blues.
Yeah.
Well, and that's where it is important to say, no, I might need to actually talk to a counselor. I might need to talk. And I started by talking to friends and my pastor and just people that could listen and people that understood. And so the first thing to do is to speak out and let people know that you're struggling and let people know that you trust that you're struggling. And then to reach out really. For me, I ended up getting a lot of the help I needed from my family doctor, who is a believer, mm-hmm. who very quickly was the guy that was like, hey, you need to do all of these things. My OB, who is amazing and love him. He has helped endorse this book as well. But it's just, I think the postpartum scale that they give in the United States, it has to be so extreme for them to notice you. That wasn't his fault. But I had to speak up to say, hey, I think I've got maybe a little postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety. I think our world thinks postpartum and they think, you know, it's, I don't want to be triggering, but like women on the news that harm. That's not really the average case. That's actually postpartum psychosis. We're not talking about that today. We are talking about baby blues, postpartum depression, and anxiety. And so with that, I think you have to speak. And then if they don't listen, you speak a little bit louder. And so you speak again and you start to say, if I'm feeling sad for more than 2 weeks, it's time to talk to your doctor and it's time to reach out to, you know, someone like me. AACC.net is a great place to start to find a Christian counselor and contact your local church as well. A lot of churches, they have full, really good referral lists, as well as many churches, many churches help and offer with financial assistance for counseling too. And then also reaching out to your health insurance to help find a counselor and healthcare provider, because that's a powerful step when you realize, hey, I might need to go see a counselor a few times. And it's not, you're not crazy. There's nothing broken. Your body's never gone through a bigger change. The body never goes through a bigger change than right after we give birth, ever. It is the biggest biological change that the human body ever goes through is right after we give birth. And so it makes sense that things might feel a little wonky. They might feel a little off because we're not exactly ourselves. Like, you don't feel like yourself, but you're not exactly chemically yourself.
Right.
It takes a while to get back to that homeostasis, to that new normal. Mm-hmm. And you do get back to that, but really it's speaking out, letting people know that you're struggling, and you might struggle for a couple of weeks and need some extra support. Or you might be like me and be someone that after both of your babies, you go on some medicine for a little while and then you feel better.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the case, but I just encourage speak as that first step is speak out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's whatever you're holding in the dark, the devil can just use. And when you bring it to the light and expose it, no matter how awful it is, he loses his power. Cause you're like, I don't have shame of this. I don't have guilt of this. And you might, as you're speaking out for the first time, but like you said, as you keep speaking and speaking, and as the scripture says that it does, you feel better just by speaking. And I learned that my first time going, when I was at my breaking point at the deepest part, and I was ready to end my life. And I had my first encounter with God where I physically felt his presence in my bathroom, and I turned around and I thought he was going to be there. And it was this overwhelming feeling. And he told me, tell your story, start speaking. And I was already running a podcast for a company I was in, and I got on that next morning and I said, I just need to let everyone know that I am not well. I am not well. I am really, really struggling, and I'm going to share my story. And the more I spoke about it, the better I felt. But then the more people came out and said, me too. I feel that too. You know, so there was so much freedom in just speaking. Like, we don't even realize the power of our voice and our words and what the scripture says about that. You know, it's right there in the writing. And oh, that is just so powerful. So would you say that if somebody is walking through this journey and they don't speak up and they don't talk about it, and they're like, I'm just put my head down and I'm just going to figure this out, is this something that goes away eventually? Or is this something that continues to get worse and worse, or it will pop up later again? What is your view on that?
So statistically speaking, women that don't get treatment and I see this all the time, they come in 2 years later. I mean, it's wild. I'm hearing from women all around the world. They're like, I have a 10-year-old and I'm reading your book now. And I realize, so I want every mom to hear, please don't think only moms of new babies or biological mothers, like all mothers can go through this. I've got dads reading this. And so with that, we do see, I see it every day, where I've got a mom with a 5-year-old, where what happens is it does seem to turn into another form of depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it lingers. It doesn't go away on its own. Baby blues goes away on its own. postpartum depression and anxiety does not. And it's not all the medicine. It's not all psychology. You know, it's a lot of physical, psychological, and obviously a lot of God and a lot of healing. It does go away. I'm free from postpartum now. I'm absolutely free.
Thanks God.
But, you know, I went through some treatment to get that. And man, it was a lot easier second time around when I got on it quickly rather than waiting. Because the first time I did wait a little bit, not super long, but I did wait because I didn't know what was normal and what wasn't normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I love your story. It's so powerful. It's so true that it's like we have to speak out and take away the weight of carrying this secret that should never be a secret. Like you're struggling. You've rolled your ankle. You need someone's arm to hang on to walk. What is wrong with that? It's beautiful.
Right.
And man, there's nothing I love more than running beside one of you and saying, here, let me take some of the load off and let's do this together. Cause man, have I sprained my ankle too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. I just love that so much. So you've had this story and you walked alongside God and you got the treatment you needed. And then you turned this into a book and into helping the world and thousands of women. So tell me about how that all came about. How did you decide that you were going to write a book?
I didn't. I was, so 2020, at the end of 2020, I was scrolling through Facebook at night, as often we do, laying on the couch. And Lisa Turkhurst and the team at Compel is a part of Proverbs 31 Ministries. They announced that they were going to have a book writing competition. And it's funny, I'm never even on Facebook. Like until I was writing a book, I wasn't active on socials. Obviously, I'm very active now on socials, but I remember thinking, what would I even write a book about? And God said postpartum. And I was like, I'm not writing a book. I'm not doing it. And he said, yes, you are. So I made a deal with God, which I know is theologically not correct. Okay. I know that we're not supposed to really do this, but I was like, okay, God, I tell you what, if I get into the program, I'll write the book. So I filled out the application. You had to submit a writing sample and like a ton of background info about you. And then they picked 100 out of thousands. I forget the exact number. And then out of the 100, they picked 2. And so I ended up getting picked, myself and my very good friend, Meredith Boggs, and her book, The Journey Home. We got picked. And so we're published with HarperCollins Publishing, which is the largest publisher in the world. So I did not start out thinking I was writing a book. I kept telling God I was not writing a book. I'm a working mom. I work full time. I have 2 boys. I am a very busy girl. And if God didn't just, it sounds so cheesy, but God, it gave me that book. Because that book, every session I had on this couch behind me, I would sit down and write. Because that session gave me each chapter of my book. Now, it did take me 2 years to write it and to refine it into what it is now. But with that being said, it came about because God said yes. And I said no, like Jonah, and ran and said, I'm not going to Nineveh. I was like, no, I'm not. And he was like, yes. So in the belly of the whale, God, I sang a praise song just like Jonah. I may have said it a little bit more gritting my teeth, but I said, okay, God. And I think, you know, I'm a therapist where I can only, and I always say this with a lot of humility, that I get so many referrals, I don't even have time to respond to them. And so I cannot see every sad mom that needs to be seen. Mm-hmm. Most therapists out there do not know how to treat postpartum. They have no idea. When I went to graduate school, there were 3 sentences in our textbook, all of the textbooks that I had, and I had 158. There was a line about this big, if you could see me, there's 3 sentences on postpartum and perinatal disorders. There was nothing. And I decided that wasn't good enough.
No.
And God definitely decided that wasn't good enough. And so at the time I wrote the book, and still there was 1 book written by a social worker about postpartum. She's not a believer and she didn't have it herself. It's this really neat, I guess, marriage of like, hey friends, I've had it. I'm okay. Not only am I okay, my kids are okay, healthy and thriving, and I made it. Mm-hmm. And so can you. Mm-hmm. And I've never met a new mom, whether she's foster mom, adoptive mom, I've never met moms that didn't struggle. I've just never met her. If you're her, please reach out to me. I want to know you. And so I just decided that it wasn't good enough to not have a Christian mental health book for moms. I just decided we needed it. And it was a little bit of a challenge for sure for me to get there. But when I got in, and especially when they chose me, I was like, okay, God, I guess you're going to have to give me a book. So that's how I got here. Mm-hmm. And now I'm an author. Yep.
And I hear so many stories of Christian men and women who say that God told them to write a book. And when it happens to you, or if God says, build this course or start this business or move to this country, you know, it's scary and you feel a little crazy. And am I hearing this right? And is God asking me to do this? But when we look at the Bible, that's what it is. A bunch mm-hmm. of men and women who were instructed to write a book, write this down, you know, write this down, write down everything that's happening to you so you can help other people. The world and the church started with writing stuff down and helping other people. And every person in the Bible was a broken, messed up, not good enough type of person. And if I could just get that through everyone's heads, like, you know, if God is speaking to you, he's speaking to you. If you feel, I think God's speaking, he is. Like, he is for sure. And when he says to do something, he's already, I saw a quote on Instagram a few days ago. I've been laughing at it ever since. It says, if God tells you to do something, he's already taken into account your stupidity. He already knows. He already knows you. So, you know, you're not letting him down. He's not like, oh, dang, I thought you were here. Okay, let me pick someone else. You know, because he wants us to rely on him and he wants us to do these things. And so imagine if you would have just thought, I can't do that. I don't know what to do. And I'm not good enough. And I can't write a book. And I'm not on social media. And I don't know how to sell. And I don't know about publishing. And I don't know about anything that I'm supposed to be doing. And you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And all the people that you wouldn't have been able to reach, which is millions now of people that just by sharing your story are being freed and getting the help that they need. Mm-hmm. It's really not that crazy, or it doesn't have to be that elaborate. It's just open your mouth, share your story, and other people are freed from it. And if more people could do this, we would have less mental health issues. We would have less isolation. We would have less suicide. We would have less hopelessness. And the world would just be thriving. And right now, in the time that we're living, where this is the end times and we see everything happening over in the Middle East, it is time that we open our mouths and start speaking and start sharing, because there is a war happening, but there's also a war happening in our neighborhood. You know, the devil is tormenting people across the street and your next door neighbor, telling them they're not good enough. You know, you suck. You should just end your life. All of these lies. And we're sitting here with the voice that we're just afraid to use because we don't think we're good enough. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, it's just so simple when you think about it. If God is speaking to you, do the thing, do what he's telling you to do. Don't think about how it's going to happen. Don't think about the fear and the doubts and the what ifs, and just say yes. Like the story of Mary and hearing, we're reading that as a family in the book of Luke right now, going through the months of December. And when the angel appeared to her, 14-year-old girl, and an angel appears and says, you're going to have the Messiah. You're going to name him Jesus. You're pregnant. And her first question is, well, how will it be if I'm a virgin? And then he tells her, and then she's like, yes, Lord, I'm here. Like, what? Like, what 14-year-old girl, what 30-year-old woman would be like, yes, Lord, I am your, you know, we would be like, are you sure you have the right person? Are you sure this is me? I don't know if I can do this. But to be a woman that just says, yes, Lord, here I am. And a lot of us are praying, God, use me. God, use me. Do something big in my life. Help me find my purpose. Help me find my calling. Speak to me. And then he's like, I am. I'm speaking to you. I'm telling you where to go. Come on. Like, you're not doing it, but you're purpose and your calling is to walk forward through what you're going through. So if you're listening to this and you're feeling like, this is me, I am struggling mentally, I want better for my family, I want better for my motherhood ministry and journey, then it starts with the next step. And Rachel already told us what that is. You need to speak to your closest person and bring it to the light, expose it. I am not doing okay. I am not well. And you need to know that. And like she said, if you're not getting the help, you need to speak louder, speak to someone else and move forward into what you're being called to do. So I feel like I just needed to say that. Did you, when you wrote the book, you said it took 2 years and then it was published and it went out there. What was the, I'm interested to know like the gap in between, like, okay, it's published and it's done and I need to do something next. Like, what did that look like for you? Did it
terrifying.
Take a long time? Terrifying. Okay. I love the truth.
So, okay. So my book launched, the 9th of May this year. So right, Mother's Day, which was super exciting. We wanted to come out around Mother's Day.
Oh, I love the timing.
And so book launch, it's all just, you know, I've been on obviously some, like yours included, some big podcasts, which is big, but you know, I'm not famous. And so it is hard. So it becomes all about, which I'm no salesperson, but it comes about just trying to get the word out there and just trying to let women know that this resource is out there and, you know, just trying to, yeah, just get the word out. That's what it's been like. I've had, you know, some speaking engagements, things like that. But then there was just a season this summer of just rest. So I launched my book, got on a plane with my husband for our 15-year anniversary. We went to Italy.
Oh,
and which sounds crazy. And, you know, knew a little bit more of our story. I grew up extremely poor and we were very broke as newlyweds. And we always said that we would someday go. And who goes to Italy after book launch? And this girl did, because I needed to sit on a train with my husband. I needed to get away and I needed to, you know, I needed spiritual rest.
Yeah.
And so we went, you know, on this crazy, obviously, vacation. I'm so thankful and so blessed and very thankful that we were able to do that. Was it like from a marketing perspective, maybe the best plan? Probably not. But I was going to, darn it, I was going to celebrate my marriage. And we had prayed about it a long time.
Amen.
And we were able to go and got really cheap flights. And we're so excited to get to go. So we did that. And then I came home and, you know, it was kind of about my boy's summer, but then it's just, you know, continuing to get the word out and continue to, you know, work with my graphic designer and continue to work and get to know more and more people that have a voice that can speak in this space to be able to let people know that there's this resource out there and that I'm there for them. And so things didn't really go back to normal, but, you know, it did kind of go back to the daily grind after at least a trip, coming home after 9 days, coming home and just kind of getting back to work and you know, the normal day-to-day mom stuff. And when I have time, book promoting and speaking in events and just trying to get the word out and help as many women as I can. So it's been scary, that's for sure, because again, marketing, sales, girl, that is not... that I feel like that would be really good if that was a strong suit of mine. I think I'm a very good writer. I think I'm a really, a great therapist and a very broken individual as well. And so with that, it just kind of comes down to, this is going to be a loaves and fishes kind of situation where I do show up with my fish and my loaves and God is going to, he's going to have to honor the effort that I'm putting into it. Mm-hmm. And I've seen, you know, so much fruit already. And I'm very honored by every person that looks at my book and downloads. I was honored. Usually they hire a professional to read the audiobook and they let me read mine. And I was so excited because I really wanted my voice to these women. And so I'm very honored by every person that I'm able to help, and starting to see the fruit has been, there's not even a word to describe, but it's, you know, it's hard. The business aspect of books, it's just hard, but it's been amazing too.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not too hard to figure out. It's not too hard for God to connect you with the perfect people. And I think that if so many of us just realize that it's really not up to us. We don't need to know the plot, plan, scheming our way to where we're going to be, that we just be still and obedient and God takes it and walks us through and carries us through where we need to be. You know, my favorite scripture is, I can do exceedingly more than what you can think or imagine. I mean, your ways are not my ways. I know things you don't, and I have plans that you know not of. And really, it's taking that word and meditating on it and realizing that this isn't up to me. This isn't up to me. I'm going to be obedient and God's going to do it. And if you could do it all on your own, God wouldn't even be glorified at all. It would be like, yeah, I did this great thing and here I am and this is me. And, you know, that would be horrible because I can't be you. I can't do what you did, but I can let God do something through me that he's done through you. And the best part when we see people succeed like that, and what I love about interviewing people that are seeing success and they're walking through the obedience, is that if God's doing it for you, he's going to do it for me. Mm-hmm. If God brought you out of postpartum, he's going to bring someone else out of it. It shows that he can do it. Mm-hmm. And just having that faith to do it is just incredible. And I want to say the name of your book because we haven't said the full name yet. So people are probably like, what is the book? Tell me, I need to get it. It's called A Mom Is Born: Biblical Wisdom and Practical Advice for Taking Care of Yourself and Your New Baby. And I love that you already defined and said that this isn't just for a mom who has just had a new baby, because if you didn't heal from your mental illnesses 20 years ago, you're still there. You still need it. You definitely do. So you would say any mom, any stage of life, even dads.
Yeah. Grandmas are reading this to like support their daughters. I mean, it's wild. Pastors are reading it to know how to support the moms in their flock. Like, yeah. It's really surprised me, even just so about half of the women I'm hearing from are gifted the book. And because a lot of moms are so thick in either they're about to give birth or they don't think to like buy themselves an audiobook.
Right.
And so many people are finding me and they're just sending an Audible credit to a friend of theirs that just had a baby. And I'm like, this is, it's like what God is doing. Like, I didn't think that. I didn't think to market it that way. Like what God is doing with dads, I've got this sweet man in Raleigh, North Carolina, that's a pastor and a grandfather that is so passionate about my book. He wants to buy it for every new mom he knows, like every new mom. I mean, who would know that this man has now made a ministry off of, I have a chapter on how to engage dad and how to help dad be the dad he's supposed to be, and how to bring, even for single mothers, because I was raised by a single mother, even if dad is hands off, you know, how do we bring dad in, even if we're co-parenting and we're divorced? So with that, like this man's passion, and he's in his 80s, is he's got a ministry on that chapter with dads and how to help dads be the dads that God wants them to be the warrior fighter dad that God is for us. And who would have thought that girl? Like, I never saw, like, you know, what older man is going to read A Mom Is Born? But it is happening, and it's like a mustard seed. And no one ever taught me this, but, you know, they believed at the time the mustard seed was the smallest seed, but we know now there's actually seeds that are a little bit smaller, but the mustard seed at the time was the smallest one they knew of. And the mustard seed grows very steadily, but very slowly. In a book that is evergreen, that really does, and it's birthed out of what God has a plan for us, this is a mustard seed. Also why I wanted yellow on the cover, fun fact. It's also why.
Oh, I love it. See, and you know how to market.
Well, it goes, the yellow makes me happy. And when I read that about, well, I heard it from my pastor in a sermon about the mustard seed, and it just changed my life. I was just like,
yes.
Oh my gosh. Like if we would look at more things, because I know that's so much of your platform and your passion is like, hey, don't forget the mustard seed, that it is slow but steady, but it yields fruit, but we have to keep taking care of it. Mm-hmm. And so I know that it's okay to have a business that's not a flash in the pan and not a fast, like, yes. I don't expect overnight crazy success. But I said, I told God, again, making deals with God, not necessarily mm-hmm. biblical, but like, if we save one soul, then this will have all been worth it.
Yep.
And you know, that's already happened. I've already heard from women that have said, I was praise in God. Such a dark place that I was going to harm myself and I didn't because of your book. Mm. And that, I, to God be the glory, I cannot take any credit for that. That was him. But with that, so I have done the work that he's called me to do. And I just, in my heart, sure, I'd love to pay some bills, but in my heart of hearts, I never want a mom to feel like I did. I felt like the biggest monster in the world. I felt like such a horrible mother. What mother is sad? I thought every moms are supposed to be happy. Why am I crying all the time? Why am I scared to pick up my son? Why am I not able to sleep because I'm so scared that maybe he might stop breathing? Or what is wrong? Why am I broken? And I never realized I wasn't broken. I just needed a little help. And that brokenness made me so much stronger. And those scars made me who I am. And I think more, literally more beautiful, more powerful, but because of God and the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. that comes into me. Mm-hmm. And it is through my weakness that he is strong. Mm-hmm. And man, has he humbled me, but man, has that made me, I think, a better mom, better friend, but hopefully a better therapist to give wise, godly counsel to the women that I work with.
Oh, of course. Oh, God's plan is so good.
It is.
It is so good. And how incredible. So you guys can get her book on Amazon and anywhere.
Anywhere books are sold. Yeah.
Anywhere bookstores are sold. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can go find it. A Mom is Born. And if you want to reach out to Rachel, if this interview connected to your soul, you want to talk with her or just tell her thank you. You can find her on all the social platforms. I will put all of that in the description of this, her Instagram accounts and her email and every way that you can reach her. Also, I'll put the link for the book so that we can all go out and buy it. And I'm so glad that you mentioned giving the book as a gift to a new mom, because that's very true. When you're in the dark stage, you're not really thinking about what you can read. You know, most of the time you're not even aware that you're in the darkness. So if you have someone that you know in your life who has just given birth or who is going through a hard time or is a mom that you think could benefit from this book, or a dad, gift it to them. Christmas is coming up. What a perfect gift that you're giving them, not just another, you know, pair of socks or something they can just wear and one day throw away, but this is something that can really, really change their life. Mm-hmm. I love that. Is there any last thing that you want to say, encouragement to someone listening to this, going through a hard time?
Yes. So, you know, I have been a therapist for many years. And part of the beginning of your career as a therapist is you kind of like a physician, you do rotations and you work for free for about 4 years. There were a long 4 years, but that's what you have to do in a lot of states to get your license. And, you know, you have to put in the work to have the pieces of paper that I have behind me, and I'm honored to have them. And I worked, and I always say this with a lot of humility, and that I worked with very rough families in very rough parts of town. And again, I come from a house with poverty. This is not a poverty thing, mm-hmm. but I will never forget a moment where God definitely changed my life. I was pregnant and I had to go do in-home therapy with a mother of four that had, I think, 3 out of 4 of her children taken from her because of a lot of reasons. She had to go and deliver the news to her that she had failed our narcotic screen for the fourth time. And she was like 8-9 months pregnant. And I remember telling her that she was going to lose her housing. And part of my job as a social worker at the time, I'm a therapist, but as an in-home therapist and social worker, was trying to get her connected to resources to make sure she had a roof over her head that night.
Right. Okay.
And I remember with this clipboard in hand, like I was almost shaking because I knew I had to tell her that she was going to lose her home. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't say this with any judgment. I drank diet soda while pregnant. I've made lots of mistakes as a mother. I am not perfect, but mm-hmm. I searched her face. after I told her, like, you're going to lose your housing, you know, we need to figure out where you're going to stay. And I searched her face for being upset or being concerned. I knew that she probably wouldn't be able to keep her child that she had custody of in the school he was in. I mean, all of these things were rolling in my head.
Yeah.
And she was fine. She was like, no, I'm good. No worries. And something hit me because I have worked with bad moms. I have worked with bad moms. I've worked with a lot of them. It's been many years, but bad moms sleep great at night. I've worked with moms that sent their children to bed dirty and hungry, kids that sent their children to school in tattered clothing, and they were fine with their choices. Bad moms don't worry about whether or not they are bad moms. Good moms do that. And while I know we are not called to worry, the very fact that you're listening to this podcast, the very fact that I was weeping over the fact of whether or not I was a good mom or what was wrong with me, the very nature of the fact that you might pick up a book like yours or mine probably means you're a pretty good mom. The fact that you have concern about your mental health, the fact that, you know, you're like, maybe I should make these choices that it's better for my family, you're probably on the right track to being a pretty good mom. And I say this story in most podcasts because I'm so passionate about saying the fact that you're here means you're on the right track and you're a good mom, mama, and just keep swimming and you will get to where God wants you to be.
Oh, I love that. That's so great. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being obedient to your calling that God has put on your life and opening your mouth, speaking up, and sending me that DM on Instagram asking to connect, because sometimes that's all it takes is just one little initiation and millions of people's lives are changed from it. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Everyone, go and get Rachel's book right now. All the links are below. Thanks for being here. Thank you for being here until the end with me today. I am so thrilled to announce that my brand new book, The Valley, is finally out and available on Amazon. This book is split into two parts. The first part will walk you through all the steps it took to get to rock bottom to avoid making the same mistakes. Part two walks you all the way out of the valley into freedom, into fulfillment, into abundance, and into joy. So get it now. Love you.